Well, hey, Fusion, so good to be with you all tonight. My name is Jake, and I'm one of the pastors here at CA, and it's my honor and joy to be with you all tonight. Really excited. I just can't believe it. God has spoken in his word, and we get to come before his word, tremble at it, and learn who he is. I'm so excited to jump into God's word tonight. We've been in a teaching series called Miracle Grow, God's plan to grow something greater in you. And we've been taught from God's word through this acronym, Mrs. Gren. Each letter stands for a life principle that every living thing, plant or animal, must have in order to live and grow. But these biological principles are analogous to key spiritual principles from God's word. So I'm going to run through them briefly. We learned about movement. God will grow you as you use your God-given spiritual muscles. Respiration. God will grow you as you learn to daily rely on the Holy Spirit. Sensitivity. God will grow you as you respond to what God is doing in and around you. Growth. God will grow you as you take your next step with Christ. Reproduction. God will grow you as you make disciples. Excretion. God will grow you as you confess and remove unhelpful things in your life. Nutrition. God will grow you as you put God's word and the right focus into your heart, mind, and soul. This is where we've been in the series so far, and I know it's been encouraging to me. And the question I want to pose tonight, at least one of them, is this. Grow into what? What's the goal? What is the aim? What's the measure? What are we growing towards? It's kind of funny. Pastor Matt Price spoke this weekend at the previous services at Christian Assembly, and he began his sermons with an illustration about growing carrots. And it's funny because me and my wife, Noah, actually lived in the same house at a different time than Matt lived at this house, and we also tried to grow carrots and had a very similar experience. So I'm going to tell my story of how this went, growing carrots. So me and my wife, Noelle, tried our hand at gardening. We had not a lot of room to work with, but we had some garden beds and stuff like that. And we started, and maybe some of you will know, but we started, and we started with zucchini, and wow, it was awesome. Thrilling success. Zucchini was going off the charts, growing no problem. Snap peas, no problem. Super easy, going great. And we're like, we're doing good. And so we get some lettuce. The lettuce grew great. We're like feeling great. We're like, we can't lose. We can't be stopped. And so we're like, how hard could it be to grow carrots? Can't be that hard. And probably some of you are like, yeah, it's not that hard. We planted some carrots, and we were just waiting for it, and it looked like things were going amazing. Like, there was tons of green growing, and we're like, we're going to have the best gourmet salad ever. It's going to be amazing salads for days, and the time finally comes, I thought, to pick these carrots, and so I'm expecting, this just awesome, like these big, store-bought carrots, and so I'm like ready, I'm so excited, and we pull out this nub of a carrot, like just these nubs of carrots, so not mature. I think we had a very meager, small one salad, not much at all. Our carrots did not mature. I didn't have a mature carrot, and it was a bummer. It was. Growing up into maturity, that's what we're about. That's what we're trying to figure out how to do, maturity. A seed becomes a seedling a sapling, and that sapling a mature tree. A baby grows into a child into an adolescent, and an adolescent grows up into a mature adult. What does mature mean? Fully developed, fully grown. And maturity is the state of being mature. So we're after maturity, growing up into what? Into maturity. The Apostle Paul had some things to say about true spiritual maturity. Let's look at some of these passages that he wrote. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brothers and sisters, Do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Philippians 3:15. Let those of you who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. Man, let's get friends like that. That you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Okay, we're after spiritual maturity, but what does that really look like? For that, let's take a closer look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And along the way, we'll find some more principles for how we grow into maturity in Christ. Let's pray, Fusion. God, I pray that you would incline our hearts to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Unite our hearts to fear your name. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. God, we need you tonight. We need your word. Would you speak to us in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, so the book of Ephesians, we're just going to be walking verse by verse through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. But Paul has declared really the indicative of the gospel, what God has accomplished in Christ in Ephesians 1 through 3. And he moves on to the imperative of living a life worthy of one's calling in chapters 4 through 6. And in this section we're jumping into, Paul introduces gifts that Christ gives for the edification or the building up, the growing, or you could say the maturing of the church. So here we go, verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. All right, we're going to stop there. What I want us to see and get hopeful about and excited about from verse 11 is that first three words, and he gave. So that is Christ. Christ gave these leaders to the church, ultimately for the church's growing and the church's maturity. And what we see there is that ultimately God is the initiator of spiritual growth. He's our ultimate hope for spiritual growth and endurance. He's the initiator. But Fusion family, he's not just the initiator. He's the sustainer and the finisher of the Christian's faith. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ, on the day of Jesus Christ. Initiator, sustainer, and finisher. I love 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, which says, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Bible is amazing. The spirit of God coming and living in our hearts, and that's core to the promise of the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, 26, just listen to what God is saying he will do and let it bless your heart. Are you ready? God says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Fusion, spiritual maturity, it's not all on us. Our job is to yield to what the Spirit is doing inside of us. I was thinking about my amazing wife, Noelle, and an area that I'm growing and growing into maturity, and God is using Noelle. Sometimes I can err on the side of being very task-driven. And so I err on that side at the expense of just showing my love through just unrushed, quality time loving the people around me. I err in that way. My wife, Noelle, maybe you've heard of the love languages test. My wife, one of her love languages is quality time. She's a quality time gal. And I doing life with Noelle, I witness in her and the way that she loves people and loves me the value and the beauty and the power of not just always trying to get my tasks done and my version of productivity, but to truly just love someone by sitting and being with them. And so I have this choice. Do I stay in my immature ways and just not yield to what the Spirit is doing through my wife, Noelle? Or do I submit to that? Do I yield to that? It's such a gift from God. Back to the verse. In this section in Ephesians, the gifts Christ gave the church are leaders. Part of spiritual maturity, Fusion, is submitting to leaders above us. I love this point. It's in your bulletin. Spiritual maturity flows from spiritual humility. I think of 1 Peter 5:5-7 that just says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves, all of you, clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Spiritual maturity flows from spiritual humility. Fusion, do you have someone who's discipling you? Do you have someone who is maybe older and godlier than you that can speak into your life that you would submit to? I love Psalm 141:5. It says, let a righteous man or woman strike me. It's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil on my head. Whoa. We need people in our lives above us. In fact, people above us that we can submit to that are godly and trustworthy, that's a gift to us. Let us not refuse the submitting to godly authority and to leaders above us. Leaders are a gift from Christ. And why did God give these leaders? Let's go on to the next verse, verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Okay, so the leaders are called to equip all of God's people to be about God's work, described as the building up of the body of Christ. Another way to say that would be the maturing of the body of Christ. Here's what I want to say. Maturity should be a team goal. Maturity should be a team goal. It's not just on the pastors and the leaders to see to it that God's people grow. All of us in Christ have an important part to play. I was following the 49ers-Packers game last night, and 49ers won, and I'm feeling great about that. But that's not the point. I'm sorry, Bo. The point is, the 49ers went out there, and they didn't play that great, but they had a team goal, win the football game. They didn't go out there and expect the coach to play for them. They all knew that they had to play their part for this team goal. Sometimes in the body of Christ, when we think of teamwork, sometimes we think of kind of the kingdom value we have at CA of going out on mission and reaching people for Christ and doing acts of biblical justice and compassion and mercy. But the family value of helping one another grow is also meant to be a team goal. So the next point in your bulletin is this. All of God's people are to work toward the maturing of God's people. It's not just about you. It's about those around you. Hebrews 3:13. This is an amazing verse. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What if we really did that? What if we took the Bible as God's word and you know what? I'm going to encourage and exhort one another in the Lord every day because it matters. One of the primary things that unites us to other brothers and sisters in Christ is the common goal of maturity. We're all supposed to care about this. We're in this sanctification journey with Weston together. And we are to build up or construct one another's faith. It's always build up one another, strengthen one another. It's never tear down or deconstruct. maturity is to be a team goal. But what does this goal really look like? What does maturity really look like? What are we talking about? Okay, we go on to verse 13. After verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And while Paul uses manhood here, of course he means mature womanhood for the ladies as well. He's extending the body of Christ metaphor used earlier for the church, and Christ was a man. But the point of the verse is this: true maturity looks like the character of Jesus Christ. Or true maturity looks like Jesus Christ. That's another point in your bulletin. He's the goal. He's the standard we are to pursue. Not in terms of us becoming divine, of course, but in terms of our character, looking like Jesus Christ. And if we're in Christ, this is our destiny. Romans 8, 28 through 30 says this: and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. If we're in Christ, our destiny is to be just like Christ. Can you imagine that? As loving as Christ, as gentle as Christ, as unafraid of what people think of us as Christ, as sacrificial as Christ, we are to be like Christ in our character. How glorious that will be. Fusion, growing up in maturity looks like thinking, feeling, and acting more and more like Jesus. Yes, it's about our actions, of course, but it's also about our feelings, our thoughts, our desires. Yes, Jesus said, don't commit adultery, but he went way further than that and commanded our hearts not to lust. True maturity looks like obeying Jesus from the heart. True maturity looks like obeying Jesus from the heart. My son, Will, he just turned one, and we actually dedicated him today at CA. It was so special. But I have, obviously, great hopes for my son, Will. Do I hope that my son, Will, grow to obey God's commands? Yes, I certainly do. But do I hope that Will hates his life because he knows he's supposed to obey, but he's so in love with sin in his heart? No, I don't want that. I want his heart to be transformed into the image of Christ, that he loves to obey, that he loves God, that he wants God, that he's satisfied in God. And that kind of gets to even a deeper level of, what are we talking about here? Why do we talk about growth? We're talking about growth, right? Then we're talking about maturity. We're talking about how maturity looks like Jesus. But why? Why does it matter? Why should we have some unction? Why should we care that we would grow into the image of Christ? Why? And as simply as I can state it right now, it's because we were made not for ourselves, but for God. We were not made to glorify ourselves and to be about our own greatness. We were about the greatness of another. We're about the greatness of God. We were made to glorify God and make him look great. Back at the beginning, we were made in God's image so that we could image forth and represent and show who God is. So we can't fulfill our purpose as human beings if we're not reflecting him. So becoming more like Christ, we fulfill our purpose of reflecting who he is and giving him glory. Oh, that's right. And we also enjoy him when we mature into Christ. Not only that, but when we mature into Christ, we can lead people closer to him and not to some imaginary version of Jesus that's not Jesus at all. But Paul knew that this was not always easy. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I'm again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Paul was desperate for the Galatians to have Christ formed in them. What if we got that desperate for one another and for ourselves? That we would get to the place where we feel like we're in the pains of childbirth till Christ is formed in each other and formed in ourselves. Wow. And Christ, what does Christ look like? Christ demonstrated that loving God and loving others is what matters most. Therefore, our maturity levels are synonymous with our love levels. Galatians 5:6, one of my favorite verses, just says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. Faith in Christ expressing itself in love. This verse, notice that it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. That is an objective thing. And that is an objective person. The rallying point for Christians is the faith handed down in the Word and Jesus Christ as he reveals himself in his Word. Not my truth or my version of Jesus. That would be immaturity, which leads us to our next verse in Ephesians 4. So that we may no longer be children. Some translations say, so that we'd no longer be immature. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. God clearly wants us to be done with immaturity. Here, immaturity is marked by being quickly and easily swayed and shaken by the lies and false teaching. Not being rooted in truth fusion means that you're easily swept away by lies. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that produces its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Not so the ungodly. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The wicked who scoff at God's word are seen as chaff that just gets blown away. But the godly who meditate on God's word are seen as trees planted and fruitful. How do we become planted and fruitful trees? According to the text, it's by delighting in God's truth. Delighting, loving, meditating on God's truth. Lies keep us in immaturity. An example of a lie we gotta be done with is the Bible's not really God's word. It's just human words. That's a lie, Fusion. That'll keep you in immaturity. If you just believe the Bible's human words, why would you submit to it? Oh, but if it's God's very word breathed out by him, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, above all things, remember that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures are God's word to us. May we love it. May we treasure it. May we realize this is truth from the Creator. May we crave it. Let's go on to the next verse. So not wanting to be immature like children, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Aha. speaking the truth in love. This is a point in your bulletin. Lies keep us in immaturity. The truth in love helps us grow up into maturity. Lies keep us in immaturity. The truth in love helps us grow up into maturity. In John 8:31, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Fusion, the truth sets us free to grow. Where do we get truth? God's word, the scriptures. Again, the aim of our growth, what is it? It's to be like Christ for God's glory and the good of those around us. How do we get there? A key component is believing and receiving the truth. I love 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. What a clear progression right there. Desire. Isn't it amazing that God can command desires? Maybe you're not feeling like I desire that yet. You know what's a good place to start is get on your face before God and say, "God, change my heart. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. I need you to do a work in my heart that I cannot do." Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in salvation. So, Fusion, we're not to be children in terms of maturity, but we are to be like infants in terms of longing for that which will sustain our life in God. And in context of 1 Peter, the pure spiritual milk is the living and abiding word of God. There's no law in the Bible, Fusion, to read the Bible every day. But it's as if God has created a spiritual law, like gravity. That's not a spiritual law, but a spiritual law where if we're not constantly consuming the word of God, our life in him starts to shrivel. So God's not mad at you if you miss a quiet time, if you don't read the Bible today. But you might not be growing up if you're neglecting the word. If you're neglecting the truth that's going to grow us up and get us out of lies and out of immaturity. I see this as a youth pastor. I see when students reject the word of God and I see their life start to just shrivel. And I see when students start to embrace the word of God and when they start to embrace his truth and I see their lives start to flourish. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who's the head, into Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow, what's going on there? I love this part. What's another key to the growth of the body of Christ, that is the growth of the people of God, you and me? Each member of the body of Christ doing its own special work, its own calling. Paul is probably referring here to both holy conduct toward one another as well as using spiritual gifts that he's given to each of us in Christ. The New Living Translation translates this verse, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Here's the last point for tonight, and it's in your bulletin. When we faithfully serve and use our gifts, others mature too. What? That's right. It's not just about me and my growth. It's not just about you and your growth. When you use your gifts and when you serve, when you ask God, "God, how have you made me to strengthen the body of Christ?" And okay, God, I'll obey you in that. You help other people grow. Fusion, can you imagine if every single one of us was like, "You know what? God has made me unique. He's made me fearfully and wonderfully, right? Psalm 139. And what if we all decided, God, use me? And so we all decided to serve and to give our gifts and to lay down our lives. What would happen? Certainly, we would all start to mature more and more. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Fusion, God has good things that he prepared in advance for you to do. Some things we're all called to do. We're all called to worship God, to share our faith. But God has also made us with different gifts and talents that we should take into consideration as we seek to make the most impact for the building up of the body of Christ. I think that's amazing that as we faithfully serve, we help others mature too. Another passage, 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 31. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. And are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" The rhetorical answer is no. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. We can get into a lot of awesome stuff right there. What I want us to see is Paul saying we don't all have the same gifts and talents. We need each other. And like we're talking about, it matters that we grow up in our salvation. It matters that we mature, family. So let's give our gifts. Let's serve one another. What's the progression again? We're even in this series, Miracle Grow. We want to grow, right? What do we want to grow into? We want to grow into maturity. Awesome. What does maturity look like? It looks like Jesus Christ. Why should I care? Because I was made to give God glory. I was made to make him look amazing, him look awesome. And I was made to love the people around me and see them come into a relationship with God and glorify God and enjoy God forever. It matters. And here's the thing. We got one life to live, guys. We got one life to live. Let's give it all we got. But back to the first point, God's the initiator and the sustainer and the finisher. So let's lean into what God is doing and yield to what he's doing. We need each other. Fusion, is it your time to start a life group? Is it your time to join a prayer team? Is it your time to join the worship or the tech team? Man, that was awesome. I don't know your name, who was just playing the keys and just blessing me tonight. Thank you for that. Maybe it's your turn to join the welcome and the hospitality team, to join the, come on, Sean. Maybe it's your turn to serve in kids' church, to serve in CA students. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I know that God has gifted me to pray. And so maybe you go up to Bo and Sarah Ann and Jairo and you're saying, hey, I don't want to put any like burden on you, but I just want to pray. How can I pray for Fusion? And they can tell you. And then you say, I will commit to praying an hour a week. I'm going to go into battle to pray for you. And your gift is prayer. Then use it for the body of Christ. And guess what? God answers prayers. And so the body of Christ will mature. What's your gift, Fusion? And I'm pleading with you. I need to mature, and that means I need you to use your gifts. I need you to use your strength, because it's only as all the parts are working together that we grow up into maturity. So please, use your gifts. Serve. Find a way to use your gifts and to serve. Kalea, will you join me up here as we close? I referenced this 1 Corinthians passage. And the Corinthians were definitely a church that was struggling with maturity in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways was in terms of the use of spiritual gifts. And it's really interesting because they were very disorderly in their worship gatherings and things like that. And Paul doesn't say, hey, stop using spiritual gifts. He commends them to the right use of spiritual gifts, which is amazing. And he says, you would think he'd be like, hey, cool it. Like, don't go after spiritual gifts like you are. He actually says to go after them, pursue them. Again, we need our gifts, right, to be operating for the body to mature. But in the midst of it, he says, but hold on. Let me show you the most excellent way. Let me show you what matters way more than the spiritual gifts. It's love. Like we said earlier, our maturity levels are synonymous with our love levels. Why do I say that? Because true maturity looks like Jesus Christ, right? And Jesus Christ was the ultimate demonstration of what love looks like. And so as we close tonight, I just wanted to take a moment, take a deep breath, and just read 1 Corinthians 13. And just let it wash over us and just all of us, just beg God. God, work this in my heart. You're the initiator. You're the sustainer. You're the finisher of my faith. Work this in me, God. Please do it. So whatever you need to do, whether you want to sit, you want to kneel, you want to just take a deep breath, you want to close your eyes, whatever. Kaleo's just going to play, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, because this is what maturity truly looks like. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Work that in my heart, Lord. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The way to fulfill our purpose in this one life that we have to live is to bring God glory. It's to know Christ and to make him known. I just want to make a space right now as we're just sitting in that passage. If there's anybody in here who's like, I need God. I need God and I need a relationship with him. Because the Bible teaches that God made us in his image. Male and female, he made us in his image. He made us good, but that all of us as human beings have sinned and we've rebelled against God and we've belittled his glory. We've rejected him. And the wages of sin is death, eternal death, also physical death. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, for anyone who would repent and believe in him. So if that's you today and you want to go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, then just cry out to God even now in your heart and say, God, save me. Have mercy on my soul. I need you to come, Holy Spirit, and work in me what I could never work on my own. Just tell the Lord, Forgive me of my sins. I repent of them, and I'm trusting in you for forgiveness and for eternal life with you, God. Help me make you the Lord of my life, Jesus. I pray for anybody in here who is opening their heart to you for the very first time. This is real, because it's God's words. It's not just a human word. God, I pray that they would receive you, that they would walk in newness of life forever. And God, for those of us who have been following you for a time, God, work in us maturity. Do what only you can do, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on me and have mercy on us. Oh God, I think of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, oh God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in us and in us as a community at Fusion. We pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Kaleo, will you lead us? And can we all stand as we close in worship?